What is the worst storm that you have ever been caught in? How afraid were you? Were you so scared that you wanted to hide? Listen, we're going to talk about one of my favorite Bible passages today out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, where Peter walks on the water and Jesus showed up. Grab your Bible, come on back and join us. Hey, we're glad that you're with us this evening. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading here in just a moment at verse 22. When I opened up, I asked you about what was the worst storm that you have ever been in. I know that if you've been around on this earth for any amount of time, you have probably discovered a storm that was of a greater magnitude than you had ever comprehended before. Some of you maybe have been at the coast and rode out a hurricane, or you've had one of those pop-up thunderstorms in the spring and summer, the kind that when the thunder cracks, it rattles the house and you don't know what in the world took place. And sometimes that can conjure up a lot of fear in somebody's life, even for somebody who is not necessarily afraid of a thunderstorm. Today we want to look at a situation of Peter and the disciples out of Matthew chapter 14 where they were put in a situation of fear. And let's look and see what took place and what happened with them. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading at verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there." Verse 24, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" Verse 29, "So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we just pray and ask that you would open our heart to your word. Lord, I pray that as we take these moments to gather around the scripture, that you will speak into our hearts, speak into those personal places where we are. And Lord, give us courage, give us encouragement along the way in your word, that Father, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So Lord, I just ask that you would be with your messenger for these moments that we have to come around your word. Lord, may we lift you up and may you truly draw all men unto you. Lord, as we ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen. Now, when we look at this particular passage, I know if you're anything like me, you've either been in a situation like this before. And I hope and pray that you've walked with the Lord close enough that when you've been in one of those type of situations, that the Lord truly has shown up. Now, in our story, the 12 disciples were in a boat on a stormy sea. And Jesus is coming to them walking on the water. But I want us to look at a couple of things here, particularly as we begin this passage in chapter 14, verse 22. It says that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Yeah, Jesus had been in the midst of a ministry event, we'll just call it that. And as it had ended, he told the disciples, he said, "Okay, here's where we're going. You guys go ahead and get in the boat. Go on over to the other side." Yeah, immediately. It wasn't, "Well, you guys get a little bit of rest." He said, "Here's what I want you to do." Now, something that was very, very interesting is that they did exactly what he said. They obeyed his word when he told them. Now, I want to go ahead and insert in this particular point that Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He already knew what was going to take place in the life of these disciples in the same manner that he knows what's going to take place in your life and my life. Now, I want to just go ahead and mention that Jesus never told us that he would make all of our storms go away. But what he did say was that he would be with us in the midst of the storms as we have to travel. So we get the picture. You know, Jesus' ministry event is over. He has sent the disciples on by boat to the other side. And he did something as well. And this is something that is great for you and I to follow as well. Verse 23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." He took that time out to make that appointment with the Father, to go and to talk with him. If you were here last Sunday or you had a chance to catch our Sunday broadcast, that was one of the things that we were talking about. We were talking about prayer, and we were also talking about the fact that a prayer request rather than a prayer desperation or a prayer burden are two completely different things. Often we will lift up a prayer before the Father, or we'll ask the Lord to intervene in a situation. But there's a difference when there's that desperation, when we are so burdened, when we have that burden that we bring us to tears, and when we cry out to God in a desperate fashion to do something, because without, we're going to be either in a really bad way or in a bad circumstance. God loves to work in those particular areas. Now, Jesus gave us this example. What a great example to follow. It says in verse 23 that he sent those multitudes away and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Private, personal time with God the Father. And it's in the evening came and he was alone there. So verse 24 goes on and tells us, it says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea." Jesus is not physically with them. The disciples are in that boat. They're heading across. Now, keep in mind that this boat had seasoned sailors in it. Remember, a lot of these disciples were fishermen before they were followers of Jesus. So being out on the sea, enduring storms, was not anything that should have been any surprise to them. So that should tell us a little bit about the magnitude of this storm that came up. Verse 24 says, "The boat is in the middle of the sea, and it is being tossed by the waves." It says, "For the wind was contrary." If you look at that in a different translation, what that basically means is that the wind was against them. They were having trouble. They were having issues being able to navigate the boat, getting where they needed to be. And the waves were of a magnitude of something that they had never really experienced or seen before, to the point that it brought within them great fear. Now, picture yourself being in that boat with the disciples. Even being a fisherman, you're realizing this is not a good situation. This is bad. This is a situation that could cost us our very lives. And that fear begins to well up. We begin to worry about what's going to take place. We begin to worry about what's going to happen with us. You know, are we going to make it through this storm? Are we going to make it to the other side? Are we going to continue to be able to be disciples of Jesus and continue to be able to follow him? And in the middle of all the mess, that's the best way for me to say it, verse 25 rolls around. It says, "Now in the fourth watch," now keep in mind the fourth watch is 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. It says, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." Now, as you know that in a lot of the Gospels, there is a retelling of the same story from a different person's perspective oftentimes. And this story is one of those that is retold by a different writer from a different perspective. Now, when we read that other account of Peter's walking on the water, one of the things that we see is there was something inserted here. It says that Jesus, and it said, intending to pass them by. I found that statement to be very, very interesting when you mesh all these stories from the different writers' perspectives. It said, Jesus intending to pass them by. That brought about something to me in light of the fact that Jesus is going to walk through the middle of your situations, but the question is, are we going to see him? Yeah, is he going to walk right on past, or are we going to see him and cry out to him in the same manner that Peter did? In desperation, from the burden of our heart. Now, in the fourth watch of the night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're in the middle of a terrible, terrible storm. Now, I'm really curious as to how they even saw him. And now, that's another message for another day, but I will promise you that in the middle of your storm and in the darkest of night, when Jesus passes by, you will see him. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Now, when they first saw Jesus, it wasn't that they recognized him. When they first saw him, as a matter of fact, the scripture tells us they thought they had seen a ghost. So now, even in the middle of a storm, as they're in fear for their lives, now another issue comes in that creates even more fear in the situation that they're in. They're thinking that they're seeing as a ghost. And it says they cried out, but it didn't say at this particular point they were crying out to Jesus for help because they didn't recognize who he was. It says that they were crying out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." How many times have we longed to hear the voice of Jesus in the middle of our fear, in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of issues that just seem to be falling apart? The pleasant, "Do not be afraid, it is I." I want to make you a promise today, as a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that in the middle of the most terrible storms of your life, in the middle of the circumstances and the situations that you are in, let me make you a couple of promises. Number one, Jesus is there. Take the time to take your eyes off of the situation, to look out, to see where he is, because he is there. I promise you that. Start looking for him. Don't let Jesus pass through your situation without you crying out to him. Like the other writer said, Jesus intending to pass them by. You know, what if they hadn't seen him? Would he have moved on? He is in the middle of your circumstance. He's in the middle of your situation waiting for you to cry out to him. Take your eyes off of the circumstance and put your eyes on Jesus. Once again, that verse 27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them. They were crying out. They saw him, but they were afraid because they didn't know it was him. They cried out, and he said to them in verse 27, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, let me ask you this. Would that put you at ease in that situation? If you were one of the disciples, you have to remember, first of all, they didn't realize, that it was Jesus. They thought it was some sort of ghost. And Jesus gives them some reassurance. He said, don't be afraid, guys. It's me. Now, of those that were in the boat, all the disciples that were in the boat, Peter all of a sudden gives an answer. Now, I've often said that Peter is one of my favorite characters because he is so real. He is so genuine. Peter was that guy who often would open his mouth before he would engage his brain. But yet Peter also got to experience some really, really cool things that the Lord did because of his willingness to take a few chances along the way in life. Now, verse 28 says that Peter answered him, being Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, why Peter came up with that particular resolution, I don't know. Was it because Peter knew the power that Jesus had was, and that if he could get to where Jesus was, he would be safe? I think back to that situation that I asked you a moment ago about a storm. Now, there are some people that I know of that are just deathly afraid of a thunderstorm. And what they really want is they want somebody to be with them. Now, they may sit on the couch quietly. They might get under the bed, wherever it may be. They're just getting in what they feel to be a safe place, but they definitely want somebody with them because for some reason that brings comfort, knowing that somebody else is there, particularly somebody that's not as afraid of the storm as they are. Now, they may sit there and hold their hand, whatever the situation may be. Maybe that's what Peter had going on. Maybe Peter realized, "Lord, if that's you, things look a whole lot more calm where you are than over here where I am. I'm in the middle of a storm, and I want to get out of this storm, and the best place to be is over there where you are. We're over here freaking out. We're over here thinking we're going to die, and you are over here leisurely walking across the water. So I think the safest place for me to be at this particular point is where you are." Take that down. if you don't hear anything else today, remember this. Remember that if that was what Peter's thought was, it is the best thought that there could be. Wherever Jesus is, get where he is. In the middle of your storm, find where Jesus is and get over to where he is. Now, there were some obstacles in the way when it came to Peter getting to where Jesus was. What were the obstacles? They were in the middle of the storm. The word tells us that there were that the winds were contrary. The winds were pushing them. The waves were something that were high enough to make even those seasoned fishermen think that they were going to die. That was what was between them and Jesus. There was an obstacle. And folks, let me make you a promise. There will always be some sort of obstacle in the way getting from where you are to where Jesus is. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow the obstacles to defeat us? Are we going to allow the mountains that seem so high or the valleys that seem so low going to hinder us from getting to Jesus? And I love what Peter said. Peter said there in verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He even said how. "Command me to come to you on the water." I mean, nobody had ever walked on water before. Before that, I don't know about you, if you've ever been out on water, it generally doesn't hold you up. If you step into it, it sinks. It was that way before Peter's experience, and it's been that way ever since Peter's experience. Water, it just does not keep you up to try to walk across it. So Peter was asking Jesus to do something that was extraordinary. He said, "Let me come to you on the water." In verse 29, Jesus said this. I love how he answered. Jesus said, "Come on. Come on over. Yeah, not a problem." That's a little thing. The thing that you and I think are the greatest obstacles in our way of us getting to Jesus are nothing to him. And Jesus says, "Are you going to trust me? Are you going to allow me to work in your life in a spectacular way? I don't care how tall those mountains are. I can make them fall down flat before your feet. I don't care how low those valleys may seem. I can fill them in and I can straighten your path." Verse 29, so he says to Peter, he says, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. What a miracle that was. Once again, nobody had ever seen that before. That was not something that had ever happened before or since. And I'm real curious. And one of these days, I'm going to sit down with Peter in heaven, and I'm going to ask him what he thought when Jesus said, "Come on out." You said, "Yeah, I want to come to you on the water." I said, "Come on, let's go." Did Peter reach out his foot and try to see if the ground or the water was going to be firm? I don't know. All I know is this. Peter had enough faith to get out of that boat at the command of the Savior. Now, that's a key point right there. At the command of the Savior. Sometimes Jesus may tell us to stay in the boat until he can get the path cleared for us to come out. Sometimes staying in the boat may be where he wants us to be comforted and protected until such time. But when he says, "Come out of the boat," that's when you need to get out. Verse 29 says, he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm kind of curious about what the other disciples thought as they witnessed this event. You know, they're sitting there hanging on to the boat for dear life. None of them said anything to Jesus about getting over to where he was. And then they're seeing and hearing everything that's taking place. And Peter steps out of the boat. And imagine the surprise on their face when the water held Peter up and he began to take step after step after step heading to Jesus. I'm sure there were probably some of those shock and awe looks like, what's going on? I mean, can this day get any weirder? We're in a boat. We're scared to death. We're in a storm of a magnitude we've never seen before. We see what we think is a ghost walking across the water. Jesus says it's him. Peter cries out to him. Jesus says, "Come on, Peter." Now Peter's walking on the water. Man, you talk about a strange day for the disciples. Wow. But look at what all God was doing in the midst of that. He was teaching some great and incredible lessons to his disciples that are great and incredible lessons for you and I today. So verse 30, he goes on, he says this. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous. Now this is Peter. When Peter saw, or when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Now remember what happened. They called on Jesus because they were afraid. there was some comfort when Jesus said, yeah, it's me, no problem. Even to the point where Peter said, I want to get beyond the danger over to where you are and to where it's safe. Now Peter gets out and it says, it gives us again the description of what's taking place around him. It says the wind was boisterous. The wind was against him. He was afraid. You get that key word? What was it that Jesus told them in the very beginning? He said, don't be afraid. It's me. I honestly don't think that Peter was afraid when he stepped out of the boat, but I think he got afraid when he was in the middle of the greatest thing that Jesus was going to do in his life, at least up to that particular point. It says, once again, verse 30 says, he was afraid and beginning. That is a continual act. It didn't say that he went down immediately. It said, and beginning to sink, he cried out. Now, I don't know about you, but I swim about like a rock. If I stepped out, there wouldn't be time for me to cry out for anything. It would have been a very quick type thing. I would be gone just like that. You know, it's just like jumping in the pool. You're gone. But evidently, this was a slow process with Peter because it says, and beginning to. In other words, he was ankle deep, then he was shin deep, then maybe he was knee deep. So this was a progression taking place. It says, and beginning, verse 30, to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Now, I don't know how far he had gotten on that journey from the boat to where Jesus was. But we know that based on verse 31, he was very, very close in proximity to Jesus. You know, in my viewpoint, I think Peter had made the biggest part of the journey. I think from the boat till he got to the point where he was close to where Jesus was. And here's the reason I say that. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So when Peter began to sink, he was in proximity of Jesus. He was close enough to where Jesus could catch him and pick him up. And I think at that particular point, Jesus is a little disappointed in Peter. I think he was loving the fact that Peter had the courage to call out to him and say, Jesus, I don't like it over here. If that's you, I want to be where you are because there's safety where you are. And Jesus said, that's great, Peter, come on. Step on out of the boat. Come on over to me. And I believe with all of my heart that Peter's steps were firm while he was on the way to get to Jesus. And it wasn't until he was in close proximity that he began to shift his focus. Now, you've probably heard messages preached on this multiple times throughout life about Peter's doubt. All of a sudden, what Peter did was he changed his focus. When he stepped out of that boat, he had his focus on Jesus. He wasn't paying any attention to the circumstances. He wasn't paying any attention to the waves. He wasn't paying any attention to the wind. He wasn't paying any attention to the storm that was around him. He was focused upon Jesus and the command that Jesus gave him saying, come to me. And as he stepped out of that boat, it was terra firma. He was on firm ground as he headed to Jesus. But I believe that as he got close to Jesus, his focus shifted. His focus shifted from the one who controls the wind and the waves to the fact that he started to look around and say, those are big waves and this is a really, really bad storm. Listen, how many times have we begun to focus on our situation rather than the one who can control the situation? How many times in our lives when things have gotten bad for us, you know, and we're looking to the Lord, it's a circumstance and a situation that only Jesus can take care of, and we have with all of our heart cried out to him with a burden. And we know that Jesus can handle it, and he is. And we're on that journey of Jesus seeing us through the fear, seeing us through the storm, seeing us through the circumstance, and then something happens that catches our attention away from Jesus and gets us to focus once again on the storm. Then things begin to look really, really bad all over again. Well, you know what? I believe that Jesus will tell you and I the exact same thing that he told Peter in verse 31. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Don't let your focus get off of the Savior. Don't let your focus get back to the thing that is troubling you, the thing that is causing you fear. When you give it to Jesus and he says, come this way, Keep your eyes upon Him, because as you do, I promise you, your feet will stay on firm ground. He is cheering for you. He is wanting you to make it there. He is wanting to see you through the storm. He is wanting to grow you in your faith. He is wanting to grow you in your walk and in your circumstances of life. He's wanting to grow you in your faith in Him. And Peter was so close. Man, he was close enough to Jesus that he could reach out his hand and take Him. And he said, "Oh, almost, Peter, you almost made it." Verse 31 at the latter part, what he actually said to him was, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He even tells us the reason that was taking place. He said, "You had faith in me when you got out of the boat. What was it that caused you to doubt? The wind and the waves. You started looking at the storm. And when you did that, you began to doubt what I could do. Not only what I could do, Peter, in your case, what I was doing. Yeah, I was keeping you above water. I was making your steps easy. And you were almost here. You almost made it the whole way." Now, you have to keep in mind, too, that there were people who were watching from the boat. You know, the other 11 disciples are hanging out in the boat watching this thing going on. I'm still thinking that they're going, you know, what on earth is taking place? Now, we give Peter a hard time very often and say that he opens his mouth before he inserts his brain. But let me tell you what I believe about Peter. I believe that this was one of the greatest lessons in Peter's life, and it could be one of the greatest lessons in your life and my life as well. But you see, Peter had enough courage to get out of the boat. You know, there was a book that was written years ago that also was one of my favorites. That the title of the book was this: "If you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat." You got to think about it for a minute. Peter was the only one that had enough faith and had enough courage to take a step out of the boat. The other 11 were just sitting there waiting. The other 11 were sitting there watching. The other 11 may have been stunned by what was taking place and what was going on. Folks, let me make you a promise today. Jesus wants you to experience Him. And to experience Him, you're going to have to get out of the boat. If you're ever going to walk on the water of the situations and circumstances of your life, if you are ever going to get to where Jesus wants you to be, you are going to have to take the faith to get out of the boat and head to where Jesus is. Will you do that? Yeah, you know, I often think about a child, particularly when they're little, and you've seen this probably at a swimming pool or a swimming hole, depending on where you've come from, and you'll see a small child, and you'll see that child's father down in the water, and he's sitting there going, "Come on, jump, jump!" And you'll see the little kid, maybe he has his little water wings on or what have you, and he's getting ready to jump, and you see him go through the motion, and he stops. And then and dad's sitting there going, "Come on, I'll catch you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you." And then he goes and he stops. And you may have watched something like this take place for a long period of time. Now, there have probably been circumstances where you saw the child not jump. They couldn't muster up the courage to jump. Even though their daddy, the one that loves them more than anything on this earth, is going, "Come on, I will catch you. I will not let anything happen to you." You've probably watched them turn away, and you're sitting there thinking, "Man, that child's really missing out on a good time." Maybe you've even thought, too, well, is it that he doesn't trust his father, or he just doesn't trust leaving something that is safe and secure to head to something that's even better, but he just doesn't know that yet. You've also seen that time, too, where there's been that daddy at the bottom going, "Come on, jump, I'll catch you." And the kid goes sailing off of the end of that pool or that rock at the edge of that water hole or whatever, and just a giggling and laughing and having the greatest time in the world. Never thinking twice about the fact that daddy is going to be down there at the bottom. Daddy's going to be there. Daddy's going to catch me. Daddy's not going to let anything happen to me, and I'm going to enjoy the ride all the way down. I'm going to enjoy the splash in the water, and I'm going to do it again and again and again. Folks, that's the kind of faith that Jesus wants you and I to have when it comes to trusting Him in the middle of fearful circumstances, in the middle of the things of our life. For Jesus to get us out of the boat, to get us out of the norm, to get us over to safety, safety being where He is. In verse 31 says, "Immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and He caught him and He said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You were almost there.'" Verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Yeah, Jesus even showed them once again that he was in charge of everything, that the wind and the waves would obey him, that at his command. So then they also realized, too, that Jesus knew what was taking place. Jesus knew what was happening, and Jesus could change it just like that. Folks, that's a great lesson for you and I today as well. Jesus can change our circumstances, and he can change our situations just like that. He has the power to do so, but he doesn't always say that he's going to do that. Now, I jotted a note down in my Bible, which I think is worth reading as I studied this passage in years past. But I pointed an arrow down to the bottom and wrote this little phrase. I put, sometimes in the midst of the storm, the thing that causes us the most fear is the vehicle of his coming. Sometimes the thing that is the scariest in our life is the vehicle which Jesus is using to come to us. The vehicle that he is using to change our lives for the better. You know, all things do work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes Jesus has to move us because we won't go. Sometimes he has to give us the little push off of the rock. Sometimes he has to get us out of the boat because we're not going to do it on our own. I don't know if you've ever been drug into a situation before that you didn't want to go into, and then when somebody drug you into it, you got to realize, well, you know, things are a whole lot better off over here. Now, I could use that with different circumstances. Maybe there was a time in your life when you lost a job. You didn't want to leave. You know, you knew that the Lord had something better planned for you, but there was security as you were in that job. You knew the people. You knew what was going on. It was repetitive. Folks, we get real, real comfortable sometimes, and you would have never left that job all on your own. But what happened was you had to lose that job. Jesus had to take that job away from you to get you to an even better place where you could serve him better, where you could be a witness or a light for him or whatever the circumstance was in your life. Sometimes Jesus has to change where we are to get us where he wants us to be. What a test for Peter. What a test for the disciples. And when we think about it, Peter was the only one that really had enough courage to get out of the boat to get to where Jesus was. The other 11 were boat potatoes. They were just sitting there afraid, you know, thinking, what's going on? Well, let's watch Peter. Let's see what happens to him. And if it works out for him, maybe it'll work out for us. But that wasn't what happened. They didn't get the experience of the exhilaration of walking on the water. They didn't get the exhilaration of Jesus giving them something that had never happened before and has never happened since. Why? Because they sat in the boat. They watched what was going on in Peter's life. And although, you know, Peter didn't exactly see this thing through 100% the way that Jesus wanted to, he got more of a lesson than those who just sat in the boat otherwise. Verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So once it was over, once Jesus got Peter by the hand, once he brought him over, they got back into the boat and it was calm. Jesus made the sea go calm. He made the waves go away. He made the wind stop. And I could just imagine that the other disciples still sitting there in shocked and in awe, looking around going, wow, who has the power to do this? Then verse 33 even gives the thought of what they were thinking. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They saw him do something great and incredibly powerful in Peter's life. The only shame was it was only in Peter's life. Now, they got to experience it. They got to see it. And I will say that probably changed their lives forever, witnessing it. But folks, here's the thing I want us to understand today. Jesus doesn't want us just to simply learn by witnessing what everybody else is doing. Jesus is wanting us to be the Peter in this story. Jesus is wanting us to have enough trust and faith and courage in him that when he says, it's me, I'm over here, you're calling out for me, you've spotted me. And Jesus says, come on, I want you over here where I am. He wants us to have the courage to take the step out of the boat in the midst of the darkest night, in the midst of the roughest storm, in the midst of the most perilous conditions. Jesus says, come to me. And he wants us to have the faith to take that step to head in his direction. And I will make you a promise because the Word of God promises this. He will treat us in the same manner that he treated Peter. Peter was above the water. Peter was making it through the storm as long as he was focused on the Savior. and not the circumstances. As long as he was looking at the one who laid down his life and picked it up for us, as long as he kept this focus, folks, I want to encourage us today and ask this question. Where is our focus? Are we focusing on our situations and our storms, or are we truly focusing upon the one who not only can get us through it, but the one who can control it? Notice what it said there in that verse 33. Or actually, verse 32. It says he went and got when he got they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Jesus was controlling it. He could stop it. Let me tell you, he can make your circumstance or situation change just like that. He can turn it 180 degrees in the other direction. But that's not always what Jesus wants to do. I've said it when we started this particular Bible study tonight. Jesus didn't tell us he would make all of our storms go away. What he said was, I will walk with you through the storm, knowing that he controls it. Man, I don't know about you, but that's the place I want to be. I want to be right over there where Jesus is. You know, when the storm hits, the place I want to be is the place where he is, because I know that he controls it. It's not going to get out of hand for him. It's almost like a small child. If you've ever seen a shy child, and was, you know, if you've ever gone up to maybe talk to a friend and they had a little toddler, and you say, well, hey, how you doing? And they go over and they grab mama or daddy by the leg and they hold on to them and they're hiding behind it. Folks, I believe that's what Jesus wants for us to do. He wants to be the one to straighten out our paths, to make the storms go away, and that we might learn and that our faith may grow as we trust him. You know what we need to do? We need to pray today for the courage and the faith to step out of the boat with Jesus. If you're ever going to walk on water, you're going to have to get out of the boat. And Jesus is calling us to walk on the water. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. I hope and pray that you will accept that challenge. I know that everyone probably viewing this has some area of storm in their life. And I want to encourage you today, first of all, look around until you find Jesus, because he's going to be in the middle of that storm. And when you see him, ask him if you can come to him. And I can make you the promise that he'll say, come on, step out of the boat, come on over here and be where I am. And when you do, listen, I pray he'll give you the courage to get out of the boat. And then when he does, that you will have the faith to keep your eyes on him, to make it one step at a time till you get to be in his presence. Don't let your faith waver. Make that journey. And I promise you, your life will change forever. Your faith will grow and Jesus will do incredible things in your life. Okay, next week, well, actually this week's reading, I always say next week because I'm thinking about what we're going to be talking about for the next week, but your Bible readings for this week, and if you're just joining us for the first time, what we do is we just ask you to read one chapter a day for 5 days during the week. I don't want you to read ahead. I don't want you to try to read all five before we come to our Wednesday night Bible study, but just read one chapter a day. And concentrate on that. Let the Lord move in your heart and let him teach you with just that one chapter. Everybody has time to read one chapter a day. Okay, for this week's readings, our Bible readings will be Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 through Matthew chapter 20. Once again, that is Matthew chapter 16 through Matthew chapter 20. Those will be your five chapters. And next Wednesday, we will be studying Peter's great confession from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. So pay really careful attention when you get over to that particular reading during your week. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Peter's great confession is what we will discuss from God's Word in our Bible study next Wednesday. Now, I just want to let you know that as we head into to Easter, I want you to begin praying about what God would have for you to give to our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. This is the offering for North American missions. 100% of this offering goes to keep our missionaries out there on the field so they don't have to worry about doing deputation. They don't have to worry about where their paycheck's going to come from. They can concentrate on reaching people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again, and also work on training them to serve him. Our Easter offering goal for this year is $7,000. We will begin taking that coming up. We'll have two different collections at the church, but you can feel free to mark your offering envelope, Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We'll make sure that it gets there. You can give that at any time that you want. Once again, if you're looking for a church, we invite you to come join us here at Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We'd love to have you come see us if you're in the area. If not, thank you for tuning in by way of our Facebook page. And if you don't have a church, we want to encourage you, support ours, that we might continue to be able to keep the work and the message of Jesus going out to the world, beginning right here in Oak Ridge and expanding out through Guilford County, through North Carolina, through the United States, to all the way across the outer reaches of this earth. Would you join us? By the way, you can do that by going to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll see a giving tab there. You can click that and follow the directions, and God will bless you. We're asking Him to bless us as we're His hands, His feet, and His voice here on this earth today. Would you look with me as we pray to our Father in heaven today? Father, we want to come to you now. We want to thank you so much for the fact that in the middle of our circumstances and situations, it's nothing that has caught you by surprise. You are there. Father, we're grateful that your word, and even in this particular passage, says all we have to do is look around because you are in the middle of our circumstances. Lord, help us to have the spiritual vision to find you, to see you, to cry out to you. Lord, we pray that you will give us the courage that when you tell us to come, that we will step out of that boat and we will head in your direction. Lord, that you will lead us through the troubled waters with our focus being upon you, that you might do some incredible things in our lives. May we be encouraged from your word today, and may we be used in somebody else's life to point them in your direction. Lord, give us a great, great week, and Lord, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday at 10:45 at Central Baptist Church, or right here on this broadcast if you're not in the area. God bless you. Have a great day.